and welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord is looking for people that will yield to Him. He uses the influence of His people like a tool in His hand. Your everyday kindness, never underestimate how your everyday kindness helps others see the goodness of God. The Lord our God, when we look to Him, when we see Him in aspects of life and operate according to His perfect will, we help other people be included into the kingdom of God. People are not just influenced by what we say, but it's our sincere actions and motives of love, things that's what inspires faith in others. And the Lord our God is good. We know He's good. Those that trust Him and have learned His ways, who seek Him to know Him. He helps us to live beyond the rudiments of this world, all the influence of this world, the way the world measures life. We measure it greater. The things that they throw away is our foundation. The things that they run from makes us strong. The love of God, the justice of God, the kindness of God, the mercy of God. What the world is trying to avoid is what the Lord has given us. The world is influenced wrong. It's not logical to run away from good treasures. But the influence of Satan and his plan and what he does, all of his illusions work together to cause people to run from God. And the only way you'll get to know Him as He is by your faith, by taking Him at His word, by letting His word produce faith in you. When we receive His word, that's where we get faith. And when we operate according to our faith, we overcome the world. It's so easy. You hear God, you receive His word, you take Him at His word, you act on it, you speak it in life. And the whole course of your life changes from glory to glory. And it happens publicly. This is not something that happens in a corner. We may go to church in a corner. We may worship God in a corner. But when we live according to His word, and when we worship God openly, when our life is worship, what we do is worship. It's something that people don't forget. It's hard for people to forget unusual things. But the influence of God's people, it's so strong that Jesus selected 12 men that turned the world upside down. And along with His other disciples, you realize that's a fraction of the people compared to the multitudes from every generation. Because they had the heart of God. They had the example of God. And they overcame the world in every measure. They conquered all the rudiments of this world. You know, Emperor Nero, he tried to extinguish the Christians. And he thought he put them in there with the lions for sport. And he thought they would recant their Christianity. And they did not. They refused to recant, and they loved God. And he couldn't fathom the way that they love God that they can't see, and they were not afraid of lions which they could see. See, the things of this life don't make sense to the mind of the world. But when a man like that go to hell, he knows. They saw something he couldn't see. They did something he would not do. Because if those who don't value God's word, they stray. They always stray. Those who love God's word, they stay. They stay in him. But those who don't value God's word, they always stray. Somewhere in life. Even people that love God, you know, there are so many traps out there. They may not be skilled at springing all every trap. That's why if we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. And we can judge ourselves. We know when we're right and we know when we're wrong. And beyond all that, we must forgive others that did us wrong and clear up things that we know are not right. If there's somebody that has a problem with you, go do your best to clear it up. Operate in love. Don't slander people. Help people out. Those who are weak need us to be strong. That don't mean that they'll repent from trying to take advantage of you. They will try to take advantage of you. I'm sorry, but it's our response. We still live the standard of love, no matter how we're treated, no matter what people do. Well, preachers, does that mean we can't fight? We can fight. But let's try not to provoke. Let's try to not provoke violence at all possible. In every possible way we can. One scripture said, as much as it is possible, live peaceable among them. A man has to defend his home, and he has to defend his country. I mean, that's just the way it is. One scripture said, cursed is he whose sword is not bloody, and the man on the watchtower that don't warn the people. In fact, God told Ezekiel that the man that won't warn the people, their blood will be on his hands. But if he sound the trumpet, then their blood will be on their own hand. If they hear the sound of the warning trumpet and don't run and don't prepare for war, then they'll die, and their blood will be on their own head, and not on the man that tried to warn them. And you can get killed trying to warn people. Blowing that trumpet might be the last thing you do before the arrow flies. But you have to be watching. You have to be paying attention. Other people are dependent on your alertness. And that's what we are. We're here to help people see the Lord. And there's something I don't really like. There are people all around me all the time. But I don't always have the opportunity to minister because I might be at work, I might be shopping, they might be at work. And it's not conducive to go around just starting conversations about the Lord. So what I do, I wish I could just stand up on a soapbox and just in Walmart or somewhere and just start preaching, but that's not always the wisdom of God. But what we can do, but we can't do that. We can love people where we're at, wherever we are. We can operate in kindness. We can make comments. Faithful comments can help. Saying things in doing what's appropriate. Now, having the boldness to stand on a soapbox and start talking and preaching and teaching the word of God, that's wonderful, but people won't take it right. Always. But whatever you do, the Lord will show you how to be appropriate. And as when I first found out about the goodness of God, I wanted to tell everybody. I went and told everybody I knew. And of course, they think you're nuts. They think you're just going through a phase or whatever. But you see something and you want to talk about it because you got the life of God. And I made a decision a long time ago. I heard about how people leave their first love. Actually, when they, as people grow and they see how people respond, they stop doing that. They stop attempting. But I said, Well, Lord, I love you, and I want to live like I love you. That's the least I can do. I wasn't a preacher yet, so, or, you know, the Lord, before the Lord called me to the ministry, I said the least I can do is live the life. And I was looking for his return way back in the 80s. You know, I was looking for the return of the Lord. But I went to school, and I knew the scriptures. He said, occupy till he come, and I did that. But I was happy. I haven't been bored since. I'm happy. I got something that I'm always looking forward to doing. Pastor just said recently, one way to not be bored is to actively do the plan you have. When you're going about doing something, you don't have time to be bored. But the reason I haven't been bored, that was a miracle. I've been bored before, but not since 1983. Because that Friday the last Friday in May of 83, the enemy said, if you become a Christian, you're gonna be bored. And I said, I don't care, this is the right thing to do. And I thought about it. I said, well, I don't care. This is the right thing to do. And I don't know what God did, but I haven't been bored since. I don't know. He must have downloaded some kind of wisdom or something. It was a miracle. I have never been bored since that day. It's even baffling to me. If I'm sitting around somewhere with nothing to do, the lights are out or whatever, I just think on the goodness of God. I can't even, if they put me in prison and lock me up somewhere, I just pray. There's a party going on in my heart. Instead of trying to understand it, I just enjoy it. And, you know, I found out that you can have the peace of God if you want it at your will. That's what Paul did in Acts chapter 16. He just worshiped God. And they had him in a pretty bad prison. And he was on the bottom floor. You didn't want to be there. But God loves us. He cares about us. He helps us out. We worship him. He started a revival in prison. Because he had a party going on in his heart. And I'm not going to let that fire go out. That fire is lit. That torch is blazing. Let it blaze. Fan the flame. Let it blaze. Love God. Be hot. Be on fire for God. And being on fire for God is not just going about doing things that man can see. Things that will look good in the eyes of man. It's not that. It is loving God and being honest. Being truthful. Contending for the faith. Doing what God gave you to do in faith. Operating like the man that had five talents. That's being on fire for God. Doing what you're supposed to do. Setting your children aside and talking to them. Working and providing for your family. Living in peace. Enjoying the joy of the Lord. Prospering properly. All that is involved with being on fire for God. Living according to the love of God. Let us all be on fire. And then, I want to live a life that attracts. That give people hope. That show people the way of faith. That inspire people. Only people of faith can inspire people. A depressed person, it's hard for him to inspire someone. Now, he may be doing some amazing things otherwise. A lot of comedians, they make people laugh, but they're depressed. Your outlook can change all that. If you have a worldly outlook, then you get into oppression and all forms of depression if you don't love God's word. And people who love God's word, they can see things that you know, they can do things that normally can't be done. They're in light and they can see. what's around them. But people that you know, the Word of God has its own joy, that its own world overcoming joy concealed in it. So when you receive God's Word in your heart, you're not going to be depressed. You're gonna have the strength of God's Word to operate on. And you're going to be able to judge better and do things better and operate according to the Word of God, the wonderful Word of God. But those who love this world, the world will, you know, it drives you into a corner. It drives you against the way of God. The world is also ashamed. There's embarrassment in everything that they do. And darkness always tries to hide. The Lord once told me, if you're trying to hide, you're wrong. Not when you're trying to surprise someone with something good and you don't want them to know it yet. That's not what... But he's talking about when you're trying to hide, when you're trying to keep people from knowing whatever it is you're doing, thinking, or speaking. It's just not worth doing, thinking, or speaking. Because darkness always tries to hide. And there's no advantage in any part of the world system. It's always stealing from you. It's always destroying. It's always taking from you in order to kill you. And remember, Satan's ultimate goal is not just deception, but it's rebellion. And that rebellion is against God. That's his end game. Yeah, and his end game is nothing new. Same old thing. The Lord gave us an example of that in Job. He was desperately trying to make Job curse God and die. And he could not. He failed. He aggravated Job, but he still failed. And failure is failure. Job didn't charge God foolishly. And Job didn't know why things were happening until after God revealed it to him. See, chapters 1 and 2 were the last chapters written. Because Job couldn't write, you know, he wrote it afterwards. But that kind of, the revelation, the knowledge of 1 and 2, the complete knowledge of 1 and 2 happened after the last chapter. Now, he did write it first, but I mean, it was the knowledge of it. Things to Job, everything just started happening. But he didn't know why. The reason why was not, Job didn't know why things, just like in your life, when things go wrong. And people think God is supposed to just stop the devil from bothering your life. And the Word of God is not written that way. That's your job. That's my job. When Paul was concerned about he asked the Lord to do something about the thorn in the flesh. And you know, a cold religion teacher, deception teaches it was a sickness that Paul had eye trouble, all this. That's not true. Because he said it was a messenger of Satan. And that's what he was crying out to God about, wanting God to do something. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. It's your job to protect and run your own life. We do it according to God's word. I can't see the devil coming. You don't have to see him coming. When you sense his presence, when you sense that he's doing something, when things are not going right, you have to rebuke him. You have to take authority over him. When God give me something to do, I just tell Satan, I know Satan's going to try to stop me. It always happens. When it don't, it's because I stop him. I tell him not to do it. You have to speak with your mouth and tell Satan, okay, you can't stop this, the progress I'm on. You can't stop the plan of God in my life. You can't hinder my plans at all, period. And you speak blessings over your life. And don't tell your enemies, people that always, people that always speak negative, that let them be the last one to find out what you, whatever it is you're doing. You don't need their negative complaints. They think they're wise, and they're trying to help you. Now they ruining their life, and they're gonna get yours too if you don't. You don't share the pearls of God with the pigs of Satan. Don't cast your pearls before the swine, people that are influenced by Satan. I'm gonna tell you this too. I'm not calling them Satan, because Christians can do it too. Christians can be negative just like anybody in the world. Why? Because we grow from glory to glory. And whatever we don't clear up, it's not cleared up. And things remain the same until you learn greater. And once you learn better, now you can get somewhere. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And the will of God is known by those who receive His word in their heart. Even positive people. Now, some people in the world, they'll be positive. They won't speak negatively against what God has given you to do, or of anything positive in your life. They may not believe it the way you do, but they're not going to try to, you know, keep you from doing whatever it is, because they're positive in their mindset. But people who always, you know, you know them because they always do it. They always speak negatively. And they always write in their mind. And anybody that don't see the point in what you're doing, just don't tell them. Let them find out when they have to find out. When I went on the radio, I did it. I didn't tell anybody, I just did it. And then once I was on the radio, I signed my papers, I started doing the broadcast, then I told people. And everybody who had comments had their comments. And the first person to donate was a Muslim. So, you know, you can't go by the people's status. Some people are saved, some people are not saved. That has nothing to do with it. If they can be influenced wrong, they can be influenced wrong. If they're deceived, they're deceived. Jesus saves us and like we are. And we just have to grow from glory to glory. If we grow from glory to glory, we live from glory to glory. And we can go forward in life. It's not God's fault that people don't know Him yet. But thank God, you know, just like at a big grand crusade, you see all those people come down and get saved. They are, you know, some are rededicating their life and some are converts. They're just starting out. They have no knowledge they don't have much knowledge of the Word of God. Some of them come from families that know nothing about the ways of God. And they don't even know in full what's happening to them, how they get a brand new spirit. The Word of God teaches you that. That's why we need pastors and teachers to teach us these things. To teach us properly. If God called you to teach or pastor, do it with all you got. Do it with your heart. Take it so serious, because you can really help people. And a lot of people that God anointed to do things, they don't realize the full potential of their anointing. It is awesome. It can do great things. Now, God loves us and He cares about us in every way there is. And He's going to help us grow. From this point on, think like God. Think big. Ask the Lord to show you the things you need to know Whatever he's putting in your heart to do, ask him, get all the wisdom you can get from him. He's trying to show you things so that you can cooperate and go forward. Don't focus on what you got to do and how big it is, or how it looks like you can't do it. And don't run too fast. Don't jump out ahead of him. But ask him questions so you can get the best understanding you can receive. And if you can do that, you'll stick with it. When the Lord starts showing you things you got to watch out for, pay attention. Because it will make the difference, and you're going to need that knowledge. In remembering things, that the details the Lord gave me when he first called me to be an apostle and started giving me instructions, the first thing, when I remember those days, he didn't leave anything out. Everything that happened, he told me it was going to happen. And I didn't understand it, some of it. One thing he said that I didn't understand why he said it. I had some insight. He said a lot of men are going to be jealous of you. And I'm like, me? Nobody's ever been jealous of me. But it was new. It was a statement. I couldn't forget it, and I didn't come up with it on my own because I found it to happen. When it happened, I was still amazed at it. And it was frustrating to me. I never wanted people to focus on me in the first place. I just wanted to do the will of God and get raptured out of here. And I want to do all the will of God I can before I do get raptured out of here. I don't care about making a name for myself. I'm not trying to get famous or rich off the gospel. I just want to do the will of God and get raptured out of here. And if I can do that, I'm happy. It doesn't take much to make me happy, because I got the joy of the Lord on the inside, and I want more of him. I want more of his knowledge. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, God loves you. Jesus greatly loves you, and he's coming he's returning soon, imminently. His return is imminent. Till next time, be blessed.